So I've been spending a lot of time in Psalms during the season of Lent, and I've been, you know, we've looked at Psalm 139, Psalm 50. This morning we're going to be finding ourselves into Psalm 90, and this is a psalm that was identified as a psalm being written by Moses, and commentary suggests that it was written out of the events that occurred in Numbers chapter 20. And in Numbers 20, some significant things happened. The death of Moses' sister Miriam, the sin of Moses that kept him from entering into the promised land, and then the death of Moses' brother Aaron. And so if Numbers 20 is the backdrop for Psalm 90, then at this point Moses had been leading the people for 38 years. And the desert wanderings had led them. They were in the desert because of their unwillingness to go into the promised land many years before that. And at this point, there are only a few people left from that generation there. Aaron, Miriam, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb did not participate in the sin, and so they were going to be able to enter into the promised land. And now Moses had to bury his brother and his sister. And he was told that he would not be entering into the promised land either. It was a trying time. And so Moses reflects upon some different realities that he had to face. As he reflected upon his life, he identified four different realities. The first of the reality is this, is that God is consistent. You know, Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2 read, "Lord, if you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, before you were born." Ugh, this has just been a bad morning for me. I'm tripping over my tongue left and right. I apologize. I had power last night. I did. It seems like I didn't, but I did. I'm going to read that passage again. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, and before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Now the word everlasting is figurative in Hebrew, and what it means is from the vanishing point to the vanishing point. And God is from the vanishing point from the past, and he reaches out to the vanishing point in the future. You know, just as far as you can see, and even beyond that, God is still God. And when life becomes overwhelming, right, we need to remember that he is the one in whom we can put our trust. Because God is everlasting, because God is everywhere, because God has always existed, we know that he will be. We can trust in him. He is there when the world came in. He was there when we came in. He will be there when we leave. He is on the throne when things are going well. And he is on the throne when things are not going well. He is God when we are healthy. He is God when our health fails. He is the anchor in all things. This is the character of God. Another one of the things that Moses reflected upon was that life passes quickly. And the second thing he observed is that whereas God is eternal, we're not. That we are only passing through. Verses 3 through 6 say this, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning, and when the morning springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered.'" And Moses is not saying this to depress us. He wants us to live with perspective. He wants us to recognize the nature of our lives, because Moses is trying to help us to see the big picture. He reminds us that God sees what we think is critical, God sees as simply a moment in a life. And rather than living for a moment, we would be wise to live for the eternal. And the third thing Moses would say is that our sin is offensive before God. Verses 7 and 8 say this, We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sin in the light of your presence. You know, Moses reflected upon the sinful character of who we are. And if the context is correct, if this is about Numbers chapter 20, then this is written after Moses' sin at the rock. And Moses is talking about himself. We're reminded that even the best of men are mere men at best. And it may have seemed like God is being harsh with Moses, not allowing Moses to enter into the promised land, but Moses was the leader of the people. If Moses didn't respect God, no one would. And we're all still sinful people, and on our own, we would do much worse than Moses. Our choices and the choices of those around us bring painful consequences into our lives. Now, the fourth factor that he was talking about is that life is hard. Verses 9 and 10 say, all of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And again, it sounds like a downer of a psalm, but Moses is being realistic. The journey of life is not easy. And think about it. When you're a toddler, there's frustrations because nobody understands you. In your school years, right, there are school cliques, there's social awkwardness. You've got mean and insensitive classmates. After school, then you have to pay bills, find a job, manage a household, make good decisions, gain respect. In middle age, we run fast and we feel like we're getting nowhere. The check engine light of our lives comes on. In our senior years, we battle an increasing loneliness as family and friends pass away. Life is not easy. Sometimes life is a struggle. Sometimes life can seem meaningless, and to one degree or another, all of these things are the cumulative effects of sin. They all exist because of the sin that was brought into the world. Now, having observed these realities, Moses makes three requests in the last portion of the psalm. And so, first of all, as a result of looking at these four realities, we could call them all, they're all kind of, they're not happy. They're bummers. But he asks three things. First of all, he says, teach us to number our days. Verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our calendars are so full and we are constantly on the run. We find ourselves often overcommitted and we're never home. And when we are home, we're on the computer, we're playing a video game, or we're watching television. Those who number their days take a different approach. They make a decision about what is truly important, and they give themselves to the pursuit of those things. They understand that sometimes you have to say no to some good things so that you can say yes to the better things. People who recognize the shortness of life stop to gaze at the stars and marvel at the sunrise. They want to live with a mindset of the eternal, and so they limit themselves and their involvement so they can actually spend quality time with the people in their lives. They make time for God because they know that this life will soon be passed and our relationship with God will be all that's left. And teach me to number my days. Second request he makes is equally as powerful. He says, satisfy me with your love. Verses 14 through 16 say this, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Do you feel restless in life? Does it seem like you're on a treadmill and you're getting nowhere? Are you surrounded with stuff but still feel empty? If so, it's likely you are looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. Finding satisfaction in the love of God involves several things, but it involves truly getting to know the Lord instead of knowing about the Lord. Knowing the Lord versus knowing about the Lord. If we will take the time to know God, we will discover that God is good and merciful and holy and loving. And we get to know God by reading the Bible, not as a history book, but as a communication from God to us. We get to know God through prayer, by having an intimate conversation with him rather than simply having some formal monologue. We get to know him as we listen for the whispers of the Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, and through the lives of others. When was the last time we prayed, "Lord, satisfy us with your love"? The third request of the psalmist is this: establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90, verse 17 says, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the works of our hands. Now, I think Moses is doing more than simply asking God to prosper what he does. I think what Moses is saying is, "Lord, help me to do something eternally significant with my life. Help me to do something eternally significant with my life." Because when all is said and done, most of us would like to look back upon our lives and see something that will live beyond us. The money's going to dissipate. All the awards will be put into a box. And the stuff will eventually be sold in a yard sale or dumped into the garbage. Moses asks God to make a lasting difference through his life. And I think if we're honest, we want the same thing. We want our lives to count. We want our lives to count for eternity. And so let's take a moment and remind ourselves of the Sunday that where we find ourselves as we're reading this psalm. And today is Palm Sunday, and we are entering Holy Week. Next 7 days are important, and we don't want to miss, we shouldn't want to miss anything of what's going on. And so how about we let these actions be our palm branches that we wave? Make time for people. Remind yourself again and again, people matter more than things. And making time for people is more than simply spending time with them. We make time for people when we stop and we listen and we enter into the world of another person. Give your time to cultivate real and lasting relationships. Right? Let that be the palm branch we wave. Secondly, look for ways to invest yourself in which will live beyond you. And look for opportunities to share your faith. Give of yourself to meet a need. Mentor someone. Be generous. Do something that is significant, that will be significant even after you're gone. Give priority to your spiritual life. Life is short, but eternity lasts forever. And so we should constantly be investing ourselves into what is eternal. Our relationship with God is not only the key that unlocks what happens after we die, it is also the key to our enjoyment and our satisfaction right now. There's a good chance some of us may know some of the things that may need to be addressed or changed in our lives. Perhaps there's a sin that needs to be abandoned, or maybe you need to limit some of your activities so that you can focus on what is truly important. Maybe you know and you believe that true life is found in Jesus, but you haven't made a commitment to him. Maybe there's a project that needs to be finished. Lent is that time for us to look inward and upward, to invite God into our lives, search me and know my heart, test my anxious thoughts, to cry out to God, you know, create in me a clean heart. Well, church, Lent is about over. So let's get to it. Our days on earth are fleeting, and the wise person wouldn't want to waste a single day. May it be so of us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for your love for us today. Thank you that although life can be difficult, we can know and we can trust that you are there. Thank you, Lord, for the mountaintops. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for your constant presence through them all. Lord, help us to see our lives as something to glorify you with. Help us to invest in what's eternal. Help us to count our days. Jesus, thank you for loving us, and we love you back, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our final hymn this morning, hymn number 328, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in This Place. Again, dear God, we pray the same prayer we started with. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to know your presence. Help us to know that our lives exist for more than what this world will say it exists for. Remind us, dear God, that we are created by your hands. Remind us, dear God, that you have wonderful plans. Help us to chase after you, to seek after your heart. Lord, to be used as a tool in your hands for your kingdom's use. Here we are, dear God. Please use us. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.